June of this year, 2019, we in the United States celebrated a famous anniversary, that of D-Day in World War II, when our soldiers landed on the beaches of Omaha in Normandy. Next year, in 2020, we will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the ending of World War II. It took place in May of 1945. Now, these dates are important to us, of course, because it was the defeat of a tyrant in Europe, of an evil empire that existed, and we still reminisce about it today. There are still historians that love delving into World War II and the history and the facts and what took place before, during, and after that momentous war. Now, we in the United States, we know our own history very well, what happens after the war. We know that we entered into a Cold War with Russia, that there was kind of this vying for power amongst these superpowers in the world. But oftentimes we forget what happened in Germany. For the German people, for your average citizen, the 20th century was a travesty. Many of the things that took place, they didn't want or ask for. World War I was one of those where they got dragged into a war based on treaties. Then they had the economic crisis that took place after that, the rise of Nazism and Hitler, which many German citizens did not like to see. World War II taking place, and then to come to realize the atrocities that their nation was responsible for, especially the Holocaust. And so for your average German citizen, there was a deep sense of a loss of identity. There's a deep sense that they no longer knew what it meant to be German. That they felt like their culture, their very identity, had been lost. And so not only were they trying to rebuild their towns, their cities, their very homes, but they were trying to rebuild what it meant to be German. Now, in posing this question, there was a philosopher, a theologian by the name of Joseph Pieper, who gave a lecture in 1946, so a year after the unconditional surrender. And he gave a lecture at Bonn University in Germany addressing this question. And he put forward how we should rebuild the society. What should Germany do if it wants to have a prominent but joyful future? We said, first off, we can't just return to what we did before. And he said, what happened in the 20th century? Part of the reason we had all these issues, especially in Germany, is because we based our entire identity, who we were, on the idea of work. We pride ourselves on being good at production, at being strong, hardworking individuals. This is what Germany is still known for today, German engineering, when you go buy a BMW. He says we can't return to that, because what did that lead us to if we make work the centerpiece of our society? Well, he says, first of all, it makes it so that work really is everything and anything to our citizens, that they value work above everything else, and everything in their life then is focused on work. And we kind of do the same thing. When we go on vacation, right, and we look forward to a break from our work, oftentimes at the end of it, we say to ourselves, all right, I am now rested and I can get back to work. I even did that on my own vacation. I got to the end of it and I was like, I feel good, I feel rested, now I can get back to work. And so even our own vacations are geared towards making us better at our work. The other thing that it does, he says, is it then makes us value human life differently. Because now it's based on what work we do. That if a human individual does not have a job, somehow we view that their life is less human. That somehow they have done something wrong, they've made a mistake, they're not totally human anymore. Or vice versa, if we see someone who has an amazing job, an amazing career, and they're doing so much good for the community through their job, we value their life as being more human and more important. So he says by focusing on work, we undercut what it means to be human. And then lastly, he says, if we make work the centerpiece of our life, then suddenly we turn everything in our life, everything that we do, into work. When we look at raising a family, suddenly it's work. When we talk about Coming to church, it's work. Even prayer, this communication with God, we see it as work, as something we have to do. And so it undervalues a lot of the things that we do in life. And we see everything that is being utility. This is going to help me do something else. I do X to get to Y. And nothing then really has any value for us anymore. And so Joseph Pieper, in this great lecture that he gives, says we can't turn back to work. We can't just value ourselves as workers. We have to turn to something else. And he proposes something vastly different. He says we should build our society on leisure. He harkens back to ancient Greece and even medieval man, this era where we thought of human life having value in the sense that it can just enjoy life for what it is, that it doesn't have to be constantly looking for advancement or utility. This is going to get me to this. Instead, we can just sit there and just appreciate what's going on for its own sake. Not that it gives us something else, but by itself, something is good. And so what does leisure look like? Well, when I was up in Michigan with my family, there was a moment we were on the beach there at Lake Michigan. My younger brother Joseph, we had just buried in the sand. His head was just poking up. It was freaking out our 2-year-old niece and nephew who just saw Uncle Joe's head poking up out of the ground. We tried to encourage them to run across Joseph because he's covered in sand, but they were freaking out and didn't want to. My other brothers were in the lake throwing the frisbee back and forth. Dad was on the shoreline watching it all take place. And there was just a moment of forgetfulness, I guess. That everything else in the world disappeared, that there was no utility. This wasn't leading to something else. It was its own thing. You get caught up in the moment. And there was family and beauty and love to that. That's leisure. Leisure is the ability to just sit back and take it all in. It's the ability to wonder and be amazed that we could go out into nature and not go on a walk because we think it's going to make us a better person, but we go out there because we want to interact with nature and be changed by it. That we can experience good things for their own sake. And so Joseph Pieper, in his lecture, he builds up to this point and then he says, but the highest form of leisure then, the greatest aspect, the truest form of leisure, has to be divine worship then. What we do here every Sunday. Why? Because when we come to this space, there's literally nothing we can do to earn God's love and forgiveness. This cannot be work, because we can't do anything. We just sit there and we just receive. And we see that in today's gospel, right? We have Martha, who's busy about many things. She's anxious and she's worried and she's doing. She has made work of this. And Christ says, no, 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 no. You don't have to do anything. This isn't work. It's leisure. And we see Mary lying down at the feet of Jesus, just soaking it up. And we come to the space, God wants the same thing for us. He doesn't want us to have to work for it. It should be easy. But we make it hard. We feel like if it's going to be worthwhile, somehow it has to be difficult, but it's not. We have to humbly approach our Lord and experience true and lasting leisure, this sense that this is good for its own sake. And when you think about what the heavenly realities are going to be like, it will be leisure for eternity. That's what we're hoping for. And thankfully, we can experience it now. Now, Joseph Pieper believed that maybe modern society were too far gone, that we have gone beyond leisure, that we have forgotten what it means to truly rest like that, that now it's too late. I hope for us Catholics that's not true. I hope for us we can make leisure of our entire life that work can become leisure again, that being with family can be leisure, that coming here can be an effortless leisure, and that we can choose the better part. Amen.